Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. We'll go to our broadcast partner, Ken Timmerman. He's on the catbird seat in Washington, D.C. Ken reports geopolitical activities for us around the world, and often he visits these locations and gives us his report from that news-making piece of real estate. Ken has in his report a prospect for the Trump-Kim meetings there in North Korea. Will they happen or will they not happen, or when will they happen if they do? Also, Ken will look at Israel and Turkey on the edge of all-out war, and meanwhile, the president of Turkey, Tayyip Erdogan, wants an Islamic army to attack the Jewish state of Israel and to protect the Palestinian people. There'll be other issues we'll cover as well when Ken Timmerman comes to this broadcast table right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. As you study the prophetic word of God, you'll find out that there are four major trends throughout all the prophetic passages in God's word. Their lowest common denominator would be four different directions which prophecy will unfold in. For example, Aliyah of the Jewish people, that is the return to the Jews to the land of their forefathers, the nation of Israel. And then there will be the alignment of nations, all the Middle Eastern nations that are aligning themselves to go against the Jewish state of Israel. There's going to be an anticipation for peace as the Antichrist comes on the scene, and then arrangements for the temple to be built on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. My book, Sound the Trumpets, is a book that deals with all four trends, and we're focused today on my interview with Ken Timmerman on the alignment of the nations. You can purchase the book, go to that particular section, and find out who the players are, what the scenario will be. It's all in my book, Sound the Trumpets, and that book is located at my Prophecy Bookstore on my website. That's prophecytoday.com. Go to my website, then to the Prophecy Bookstore, and make your purchase of my book, Sound the Trumpets. Ken, I guess the big headline has to be about the North Korean summit. Is it on? Is it off? U.S. hopeful that the Trump-Kim meeting is going to go ahead. What are your thoughts?
Well, frankly, we're going to see. And we're going to see if Kim was serious about wanting this summit. Was he serious about denuclearization? Or was he just doing what his father and grandfather have done before, which was trying to game the system, game negotiations with the U.S., in order to get financial lifelines thrown towards his decrepit and flailing regime? We don't know this yet. And these last-minute gesticulations by Kim Jong-un, where he claims, for example, that the fact that the U.S. and South Korea are going ahead with military exercises, which had been planned for months and which the North Koreans knew about for months and which up until now they had no problem with, well, they're using that as an excuse. And then they're using as an excuse the fact that the National Security Advisor John Bolton suggested in a televised interview last weekend that there is a precedent for North Korea giving up its nuclear weapons and infrastructure, and that's Libya in 2003. By the way, I was in Libya when Gaddafi decided to turn over his nuclear weapons production gear. March of 2004, when a U.S. ship arrived in Tripoli Harbor, and they actually put on board that ship Gaddafi's missile launchers and his uranium enrichment centrifuges. That's what John Bolton has in mind. He was at the State Department at the time, deeply involved in that negotiation with Gaddafi. Of course, what Kim is worried about is what happened later. And later, as we know, with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State and Obama as President, the United States took part in an EU effort to topple Gaddafi through jihadi Muslim terrorist groups. So that's what Kim is worried about, and that's what he's referring to. But look, we don't know if the summit's going to go ahead, and the President is being, I think, very clear-headed about this. If the North Koreans agree to denuclearize, the summit goes ahead. If they don't, it doesn't.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, as you said, and we'll continue to stay on top of this story. Ken, in Turkey, Tayyip Erdogan is urging the Islamic world to unite against Israel and want to have a summit, actually, in Ankara there, based upon what was going on at the Israeli-Gaza Strip border. This guy is not going to sit back and be still. He's trying to get everybody to go against the Jewish state. I'm talking about everybody in the Islamic world. You think they'll come together now, or is he just trying to make a lot of noise, get a lot of news headlines?
Well, you know, he's just whistling something in Istanbul. Look, here's the problem, Jimmy. Erdogan is showing himself increasingly to be a radical Islamist dictator whose goal is to reestablish the Muslim caliphate, and he is supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. He is supporting ISIS. He's supporting terrorist groups. He's invaded his neighbor Syria. He's massacring Kurds in his own country and massacring Kurds in Syria. He'd like to do the same thing in Iraq. He has helped Iran to murder Kurds, and he claims that Israel has gone beyond the pale for its response to armed Hamas terrorists trying to storm the southern border. Erdogan is calling Israel's actions in killing 60 of these terrorists genocide. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic. And frankly, I don't think today, in today's Muslim world, that he is going to get a great deal of support. The Saudis have clearly backed away from Turkey. They're calling Erdogan a terrorist. The UAE is siding with the Saudis. So is Bahrain. Some of the other countries are on the fence. You're going to have an alliance. The Muslim world, this is what's kind of interesting. The Muslim world is really splitting today into two armed camps. The pro-Saudi camp, which is pro-U.S. and increasingly pro-Israel, and then the Turkish-Iranian camp, which is anti-American, anti-Israel, and jihadist. That's what you're going to see. He could get those jihadist regimes, you know, Qatar coming to his side, perhaps a couple of others, Sudan maybe, a few others, but he will not get the big countries that the U.S. relies on, in particular Saudi Arabia.
Well, speaking of the United States, he also said that the Middle East is a place where the United States is more a part of the problem than the solution. Well, he's taking even on the United States as well.
Well, Erdogan is isolating himself, frankly, and I think at a certain point he's going to find he's pushed a bit too far. Right now, within the U.S. administration, he has got the support of the Pentagon, General Mattis, who, as an old Cold Warrior, as an old NATO hand, sees Turkey's role in NATO as more important than Erdogan's radical actions and radical statements. But you've got John Bolton, and you've got Mike Pompeo, and you've got, I think, increasingly the president himself, who see that Turkey has become, and Erdogan in particular, has become increasingly radical and is no longer behaving as a U.S. ally in NATO. So there could come a point, and we're not there yet, but there could come a point, Jimmy, where the Trump administration says, enough is enough, Erdogan. We've had it with you. We're pulling out of our base in Incirlik. We're removing our assets. You say you're a NATO ally. You're not behaving as one. You are no longer going to have the benefits of membership in NATO.
How important is that base for the United States there in Turkey?
Well, these days, it's not important at all. Frankly, because the Turks have not allowed us to use it for operations in Iraq or against ISIS for the most part, it's become completely sidelined. It's basically a hostage to the Turkish government. It's a NATO base. Germany, 2 years ago, pulled out all of its assets, all of its planes and airmen from the base. Frankly, I think we should shut it down and blow it up so Turkey can't take it over and move those aircraft to Erbil in northern Iraq in the Kurdish region. And the Kurds would love to have a U.S. military base there. They told me that last summer during my last trip to the region. They would love nothing better than that.
Let's talk about Iraq just a bit, since you're pretty knowledgeable of that country, having visited there this last year. the prime minister's election going on, it does not look like Al-Badi, who is the present prime minister, has enough votes to go back into office. And then you have the former prime minister, Maliki. He is vying for the position. However, neither one of these men capable of winning unless they get Muqtada Sadr, the high-ranking Islamic cleric there in Iraq. And, of course, he had the Mahdi militia, the Messiah's militia. He's the kingpin as far as this election is concerned, is he not?
Yeah, he's the kingmaker here. And, look, Muqtada Sadr is an interesting figure. While he does have very deep ties to Iran, he also has been positioning himself in recent years as an Iraqi nationalist and an anti-corruption leader. So he has appealed to a base of voters in Iraq that neither Abadi nor Maliki can appeal to. And I wouldn't automatically dismiss him as an Iranian stooge. I think he's shown himself to be wily, to reinvent himself. He's reinvented himself already several times, and he's only in his early 40s. I wouldn't take these results as anything negative. I think that we need in the United States to sit back and watch to see what's going to happen. Iraq is a parliamentary system, so whatever government comes to power will be some type of coalition. Our national interest in Iraq is twofold. Number one, to limit the control of Iran over the Iraqi government. And you'll notice just this past week, the Treasury Department sanctioned a bank in Iraq, as well as the Iranian Central Bank, for supporting terrorism, because the Iranians have pretty much control. They have extensive control over the Iraqi banking sector. So our first interest is limiting Iran's interest in Iraq. And our second interest, obviously, is eliminating the ISIS presence in Iraq and any sort of terror stronghold or terror base there.
Well, Muqtada Sadr could not become prime minister, as I understand it, because he was not even a candidate. But is there a possibility that could change at all?
No, he will not be prime minister. But as you mentioned, he will be the kingmaker. So whoever does become prime minister will have his blessing. And we don't know what conditions he's going to impose on them, but it will be interesting to watch. Look, parliamentary debates, coalition building is always a delicate balancing act, whether it happens in Britain, Germany, Israel, or Iraq.
Politicians across every nation of the world will make decisions that will set Bible prophecy in place, and in particular, when we think about Iraq, that's a biblical Babylon located in Revelation chapter 18. That's why we report on these different nations, countries in the Middle East in particular, and get the insight from Ken Timmerman. Ken, great as always. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Always a pleasure. God bless.
Very interesting report coming from Ken Timmerman as we looked across the geopolitical activities of the world to see how they were fitting the scenario that is laid out in God's Word for the end times. As we think about the report on the Iraqi elections, you must remember that Iraq is modern-day biblical Babylon, which has a significant role in the end of times. Revelation chapter 18 reveals that literal Babylon will be the stronghold for the Antichrist in the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. Babylon will be the economic power base of the world, where only those with the mark of the beast will be able to buy or sell, to buy items for housing, clothing, and food. Babylon, on the shores of the Euphrates River, will also be the political governmental power base for the Antichrist. Today's prospect of a strongman leader in Iraq is setting the stage for the strongman leader in Babylon in the last days. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.